Welcome back
to It's All Bad.
Montana edition, live and direct with Alley.
The Alley Cat.
As you might have noticed, there's no more ads on this show. And that's possible because of Patreon and guys like you and gals. So please subscribe on Patreon. We got special gift for you and tell a friend.
Welcome back to It's All Bad. I'm Keith.
What up? I'm Danny.
Hey, I'm Reno. And we're here with our special guest,
Allie.
Hey
Allie.
Allie's a behind the scenes, It's
BTS.
All Bad.
BTS.
Yeah. BTS, yeah. Instagram fucking wizard.
I'm not talking about the K-pop band BTS either. I'm talking about social media magic.
I love
magician.
K-pop though.
K-pop's the shit.
BTS has this crazy following. It's, like the cult following, yeah. But like millions.
And they just got sent to...
Billion, almost.
They just
probably.
Got sent
Did they
to...
they get drafted?
They got drafted, yeah. They're not making music for however long because they all got drafted.
Well, the... What's his name? The Dragon, the Triple X Dragon, the whatever his name is. It's one of the stars of BTS. Just dropped a Nike that looks like a wingtip. Like a black and white wingtip.
No way.
Fucking dude.
Is it fire?
It's sick, yeah, for
sure. G-Dragon.
G-Dragon, that's
his name. I got some G-Dragon swag.
Yeah.
I got a few pieces. I got the G-Dragon Air Force Ones.
Dude, just his...
No big deal.
His little like, video clip announcing it is, like, fully, like, you know, choreographed as fuck. Like, the fits are... They're dope, for sure.
So, welcome to It's All Bad, Allie.
Thank you.
Tell us where you grew up.
Montana edition. I'm from Montana.
Yeah.
It's so funny because I'll say I'm from Montana and like that doesn't mean anything to, you know, a lot of women, but men, if I say that on stage, there's like a line to try to talk to me after this.
Yeah.
They love it.
Every fucking dude right now is living his Yellowstone fantasy in his head.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Uh-huh. I heard that show's fire.
It's incredible. I can't believe you're not watching it yet.
No. I've seen the prequel. I started the prequel. What is it? The
1880s.
No, that's... Yeah. Oh, yeah, it is a prequel.
But it's
that's
a prequel
right.
that came after.
And it's... Wait,
why?
It's not great. Like, Yellowstone's fucking great.
Is it?
Absolutely. I can't believe you're not watching it either.
I don't know. Kevin Costner as a cowboy? I can't.
Reno watches fucking everything, I gotta
everything.
Say.
So...
You seen Succession? You seen the new season?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Absolutely.
Is it good?
Succession is so good.
It's so fucking good.
Oh, yeah.
I'm more of a River Runs Through It Montana person.
Oh, yeah,
that's real Montana shit.
Yeah.
Tell us what it was like partying in Montana.
It was a lot of they call it keggers.
Oh, we have those.
Yeah, keggers. So like red solo cup, kegger out in the woods, like
fancy like
Applebee's. The first time I ever got drunk was off Malibu rum, I think.
Oh, nice.
Actually, the first time I ever got drunk was vermouth from my dad's like cooking. Ooh. Like isn't that disgusting?
Yeah.
Montana's crazy though. It's like Cook City. Everybody thinks it's cowboy culture, but it's a lot of snowboarder skiers.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the Nordic
huge meth problem too.
A lot of meth, crazy.
Yeah, there's a big billboard when I was driving last summer through Billings. There's a big billboard.
The Montana meth.
I think.
Yeah, Billings, like something no meth Montana.
I feel like Billings was one of the meth capitals or something.
Yeah, don't meth around. Yeah. They said. When you
to well, there's nothing to do. What are you doing out there?
I know, man.
I mean, we have one skyscraper in the town that I'm from.
Like literally, the city of Billings, which they call the big city, right?
Yeah, yeah.
The city of Billings is literally like the size of like. You know that exit in Ontario when you're going down the 10 where like the Ontario Mills fucking
Archibald?
Yeah. That's like how the biggest city in Montana looks.
Sort of. I mean, imagine like a whole state as just Lancaster.
Yeah.
Like Palmdale kind of
really?
Situation. That's, I mean, it's just desolate.
That's when you go Billings east though, right? Like Western Montana is peaks and mountains.
Absolutely.
And
Glacier National Park, Missoula.
Yeah, all that jazz.
Yeah, Flathead Lake is crazy.
Yeah.
When did it start going dark for you?
Well, I grew up in a family that was kind of like very, very Christian, very religious. I'm like Anglican church, just very, you know, East Coast Protestant.
Yeah.
Puritan, hardcore kind of, you know, just... You're wrong before you're right. You're bad before you're good. Oh, that kind of thing. You're a sinner. And so I started smoking weed in like ninth grade or something. And I ended up, that was like the cardinal sin.
Oh,
this
wow.
was back in the 90s when it was like weed was still the devil, you know?
Oh my gosh.
It wasn't, it's not like today where
the devil's lettuce.
Yes, yeah. The devil's lettuce. Exactly. And
so crazy.
Yeah. So that was like, you're Satan if you smoke weed, you know? And, I ended up getting kicked out of my house. But I mean, people were getting sent off to like military camps for smoking weed.
It's
and like
so crazy.
They were sending their kids to like camps in the mountains trying to like eradicate,
yeah.
you know, any drugs or alcohol addiction.
Yeah.
So you go up into these mountains and like you're on this like crazy 30-day like weird
boot. Digging your own toilet.
Yeah, boot camp, yeah. like boot mm-hmm. camp, you know, just very finger pointing.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So I ended up getting kicked out of my house when I was 15.
Damn.
Yeah. And then...
how many siblings do you have?
I have two sisters and a brother.
Oh, wow.
And I moved... Well, my parents got divorced, so I mean, it's just like... I mean, we could go into the trauma, but I mean, who wants to deal with all that? Yeah. I mean, yeah, whatever. It's just crazy. My mom's from California, so she's from Santa Rosa,
okay.
which is, you know, up north, and Marin. So she, when they got divorced, times were crazier back then.
Yeah.
Like the cars wouldn't start. We used to drive from Montana to California because like I don't know if my parents couldn't afford plane tickets or what.
Yeah.
But like driving through Nevada, like Elko, Nevada and Jackpot and all these places in like a Renault or some
Damn.
Kind of car that just the engine freezes in the yeah. winter and you're stuck at like a Motel 6 in the middle of Nevada. And
you know what though? Montanans like to fucking drive.
Oh yeah.
Far.
Oh yeah.
Like all those
Love
people
it.
On my grandfather's side of the family, yeah. my uncles, they'll like my grandfather before he died, he would make my dad drive him from his place in like Apple Valley out there in the desert to his ranch in Montana when it was summertime.
Mm-hmm.
It's like fucking 3 days, 4 days driving.
Wait, your dad?
Yeah, so my dad, my Montana side of the family comes from my stepmom, who was my stepmom for 42 years or 43 years.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So my dad, and her, you know, he's yeah. part of the family, even though he's a greasy Italian, the grandpa foreigner, came over here all slick, trying to, with his olive oil voice,
Wait,
trying to charm his
where,
daughter.
Where in Montana, though?
Far east side. It's a little town called Circle, Montana.
I know Circle.
Yeah, it's yeah. there's nothing there.
Yeah.
We went for his memorial, and we were like, there's one motel. We bought out the whole motel. It was a holiday weekend. The only thing that was open was this like mini mart. We ate mini mart fucking food all weekend.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah. It was crazy.
Like hot dogs and shit?
All that shit. It was like a plush mini mart, though. It had like a lot of crazy, like extra shit that they don't have at every little mini mart.
Mm. Yeah, no, my aunt and uncle have a sheep ranch in Jordan. Have you heard of Jordan?
No, huh?
Oh,
is that
yeah.
right there?
It is. It's like where the Freeman, do you remember the Freeman, that old case where they like defied the government and they had a standoff?
Yeah.
It was kind of like Waco, but not,
yeah.
not as in, it wasn't, there
the
wasn't
family.
Like a cult situation
yeah.
happening.
Okay,
yeah.
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but
we
yeah,
were out there. We went to like a rodeo and like mm-hmm. we, you know, we, the memorial, all the vets. Like, you get to that part of the country and people are really into like being vets, having given service to
yeah.
the country,
yeah.
like working the land, being mm-hmm. like, it was wild. It was
well, there's
really
a lot
cool.
of army bases up there too.
Right.
Did you ever get fucked up with people from the army base?
No, no.
Keith later. Did.
Yeah. No, I did work on a military base. So at my first job, I was a grocery bagger at a commissary at a military base.
That's amazing.
It was crazy. Yeah, and that's like how I got into all the conspiracy stuff that I started, you know.
Wait, what?
Well, I worked on a conspiracy podcast for long time.
Mm-hmm.
But you got into conspiracy theories when you were working at the military base?
Well, yeah, because we used to drive around the military base and get high and just listen to stories about like all the military stuff that was like
going on and
covert
shit.
Ops, mm-hmm. you know, what was happening, you know, Vietnam, Bay of Pigs, like all the things.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And
it is wild when you look back at that shit, how like the CIA and people orchestrated shit like that.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like Bay of Pigs, for example. Yeah,
like Iran-Contra scandal.
That's heavy.
I mean, everybody was a huge Reagan supporter. And I mean, Montana's a red state. So
big
like,
time.
Bush, like they didn't know Bush Jr. was like a bad guy when they were voting for him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
Before Iraq and before 9/11 and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So they just thought that he was like a conservative hero. They didn't know that he was a part of a huge crime family.
Yeah. You
know? Bush Jr. was a bad guy? What? Yeah. I think he's just a cool artist.
Who's Bush Jr. you're talking
George
about?
George Bush Jr.
Oh, he is a crazy artist.
Yeah,
now, huh?
I want to own one of his paintings. I'm not going to lie. Yeah. You know?
Nah, he's a real piece of work, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's fucking crazy. So wait, you were living where when you started getting loaded? Billings?
I was in Billings when I started drinking, going to the Kagers.
Where'd you go when they kicked you out?
Well, my mom lived in California at that time.
Oh,
so okay. Like yeah. we would come to California during the summer, and like my mom was in the program, and she married a guy. You know, when you're young, like everything's embarrassing. Like everything's so embarrassing.
Mm-hmm.
My stepdad, she married a guy in the program, and he lost a leg in a motorcycle accident.
Uh-huh.
But like that was so embarrassing. Well, I feel like such a piece of shit when I do my inventory. Like, you know, I'm like, that was such an
asshole. I mean, you were a kid.
I know. Like, how can
you?
Like,
who the fuck is this guy?
But, you know, like throwing us in the back of the truck and we'd go out to like, do you know Marin or like the North Bay at all?
Kind of.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah. So that's how when I first got to AA, I was like, you'll never catch me in AA.
Yeah.
As a kid. And like, my dad's like this very, you know.
Yeah, your mom was burnt on that after she came back
and
to
then,
California.
And then she starts dating these motorcycle guys and shit. You know, she just went like, she was so straight and narrow for so long that she just went all the way to the opposite.
Let
side.
Her hair down.
Yeah.
So when did the partying start going bad for you?
So partying, okay, so when I got kicked out and I moved to California, like I had just been smoking weed and drinking, right? I didn't know anything. I mean, this was still the 90s. We were de-seeding our weed and shit. Like it was nothing like it is now, you
right.
know? Like it was bad. And then when I got to California, when I got to high school, it was like the only two groups of people that would talk to me were like the hardcore Christian, because I was like a new kid in a high school in California, and like this shit was very intimidating.
Yeah,
you know, and being from Montana, I was like, fuck all these bitches, you know, because like girls were like really gnarly out here. They weren't friendly at all.
Yeah,
you know?
That's fucked.
Yeah, and it's like you know, the popular football people, and then the cholas, and like anyway. I made friends, and like they were snorting rails like at lunch, and like I had never
speed or coke,
crystal.
Yeah,
I'd never seen that shit before. But because I was so desperate to make friends, they were like, "Yo, just steal some booze for us on lunch, and like you can hang out with us." Yeah, and it's like so I would steal like peppermint schnapps, and we would like put it in these big McDonald's cups, and we would just like drink peppermint schnapps in black.
Ugh.
Like black. Oh. It's so disgusting.
Oh my god.
But
and
yeah,
snort.
And that was how I got introduced to crystal meth. Mm. You know, reluctantly. Like I was never really bad with snorting shit, because I kind of came from like a good family. Like that was scary to me.
Yeah,
but I did, you know, get involved in it to the point where like I was, the longest I was up was like 3 days.
Yeah. And that's a lot when you're a kid, man.
Yeah. And then like I looked in the mirror one time and I was just like, yo, what are you doing?
Yeah.
You know, like you can't do this.
Yeah.
You know, and I had to like give myself a chat.
Yeah,
but those were
get
my friends.
The light,
they in Marin, they call it GAC. Like I don't know, you guys mm-hmm. call it GAC?
I've heard it called that.
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. Some people will call it GAC. Yeah.
Yeah, so like you were a GACer if you were doing speed and shit and then parties, and then like we started dropping acid because we do acid and shrooms. Like they put like liquid acid on a sugar cube.
Yeah,
and then we take it and go to house parties.
Yeah.
And so I started doing acid, and I was from, you know, and doing shrooms. We'd like go up in the hills, and we'd get like cardboard boxes and like cut them up and like do shrooms and like slide down the hill.
I've done that.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Mudboarding.
So
on mushrooms? That was
no, just fucked up drunk and shit.
That's dope.
In San Dimas. Not nearly as beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
But I was hanging out with a bunch of like bad guys, and, you know, like gas masking weed and like like bong, like we were taking bong loads at like, I mean, I had no sense of self because I was so impressionable on just trying to make friends. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was like the majority. And my friend was like heavy into it, and they started like smoking crystal, like smoking meth and shit. And I never smoked it.
Like, me either.
I never did. And then like my credits didn't transfer from Montana over to California. So like I ended up having to go to a bad kids school, to a continuational school.
Yeah.
So like if I could have even made good friends, that was not happening. Like I went to a bad kids school and then all my friends were bad. You know what I mean? And you know, it was like they were like, they would roll blunts, and like we were in the Bay Area, and so heroin was coming over from the East Bay, from like Oakland and Richmond, right? So they would roll blunts and like put black tar heroin on the top, and like that's how heroin creeped in. And yeah, and then like my ex would like shoot up, you know, and then he it was like needles, and I was around all that shit. Like by the grace of God, like I did not do heroin.
Yeah,
like I'm so lucky, but like half of my friends went out on it, you know.
Damn.
Yeah. So, yeah. And then he became like a methadone addict. And I mean, it was just like needle clinics, and like I'm driving him to Richmond in this sketchy ass neighborhood. Ooh. Pulling up, you know. And
Richmond
just,
is fucking gnarly.
Really?
Yeah. No, I was on a work trip up there, and I was actually coming back from a vacation, and the guys that I was working with at the Park Showroom, I was like, we had to go do this trade show in San Francisco. And, I was like, oh, just book the rooms. You know, usually I would take care of everything. Book the rooms, handle it, do whatever. And they got us a fucking Airbnb house in Richmond.
Yeah.
And it's, dude, it's like South Central meets fucking Skid Row meets like
really?
with a BART station in it or something. It was so gnarly. We had to like pull the car in the garage every night. Even the lady that managed the Airbnb was like fucking super twacked out. It was like Night of the Living Dead around there and shit.
Richmond's right by Berkeley, right? Or no?
It's like Richmond,
and then
is on the other side of the freeway from Berkeley. So okay. Like you're coming.
It's
on into the city.
It's right off the 580, right?
Yes, 880, 580.
Yeah, uh-huh.
It's 580, right? So 580 comes through Oakland that way, and then like
it's Richmond, San Leandro, which San Leandro I think is even sketchier.
San Leandro's behind you if you're going that way.
Uh-huh. All right.
So it's like Richmond, Port Richmond, Emeryville, all that shit.
Vallejo.
That's what I was thinking. I was Emeryville.
Vallejo, Valley Hill.
Vallejo's up over the hill. That's where Keek to Sneak and E-40 are from. And shit.
Where it's illegal to own a, you can't, if you pull up with a pit bull in Vallejo, they can arrest you and they can put the pit bull down.
No shit. Probably.
Yeah, because that's where the pit bull mauled that baby like 20 years ago. Wow. So they're like, fuck that. No pit bulls. We're taking a stand.
I was on another like sales road trip coming from Sac, like over the 80, like through Vallejo, and then like at the very top of the hill. You know, when you can see the city and shit, there's like one last rest area, and I just like pulled over to like stretch my legs and smoke a cigarette or something, and it was just packed with like cars with like the, you know, blankets closed in the doors, people in there smoking crack and shit.
This is recent.
Admiring the city from
but then also like ecstasy, and then it was like the 90s, so ecstasy and like raves and shit started happening.
Yeah.
Do you have a good acid story?
Acid?
Yeah.
Okay, we would take the bus. So, like, we would take the bus to San Francisco all the time and like drop acid, because I would hang out with a bunch of taggers and skaters. I don't know. It was just I don't have like any memory of like half of what I was getting involved in, because I was just blacked out like all the time, you know. Yeah.
So ecstasy, you're going to raves.
Ecstasy. One time I was on ecstasy, we took the bus in the city again, and like we get out and there's just a dead body on like Van Ness and like Union. I mean, like, and you're like, you know,
you're tripping. That's the last thing you want to see.
Taking the bus into the city of San Francisco.
I mean, it's crazy. We would go to Chinatown and like all, North Beach and like all these places, just high and just like. Chinatown was so crazy too, like
the lights and everything else.
Yeah,
right?
I mean the tunnels.
You go to Chinatown on acid and shit.
Not on acid, but on E.
What's that one corner in North Beach? It's like way up out of North Beach, where it's like the Larry Flint Club. All the strip clubs are on that one big corner. And
yeah,
like,
that's Union Street.
Is that?
Yeah,
it's like cracking right there.
Yeah.
Chinatown's crazy. There's some, you know, there's some freaky shit going on over
no,
there.
No, they're dangerous.
Yeah.
Like, it was dangerous. It wasn't like, oh, let's go to Chinatown and take some Instagram pictures. Like, no, that's not how that works. No. You know? But I don't know. I just was, most warehouse parties, like a lot of warehouse parties, but like my drug of choice was just booze.
Yeah.
I never
old school.
Yeah, like, I never really like got too hard into drugs. I mean, yeah, I fried a bunch of times and did shrooms, but like, I always had in the back of my head like, don't fuck up. You know what I mean? Luckily, you know,
I think booze is the worst one.
I think so too. It's poison.
It is.
But I mean, a dirty martini is like. My bed.
You see those things getting served up at the hotel all the time, huh? Big old pours.
They're just shaking so good. They look good. They look great.
Yeah, it's that first one. You know what I mean? That first one, you just kind of oof.
How'd you end up in AA? What was the...
Well, I had gotten my second DUI. Like, my first DUI, like, I was following my friend home because I didn't want her to get...
A DUI?
Like, yeah, I didn't want her to get a DUI. And this is what happens, though. These are all peer-related things, right? So, like, you make really poor choices to try to, like, help your friends and stuff. Like, that's where your people-pleasing bullshit comes in.
Yeah, I've done that, got myself in trouble with that same shit.
Yeah.
Down, having your homies back.
Right. I mean, so we were drinking in the garage, like, all night long one night, playing darts and just, like, having a blast. And she had a government job. She worked for the county. And I'm like, dude, you can't drive home. Like, I'm going to follow you. I'm the angel. I'm the beacon of hope. You know, I'm gonna make sure you get there. And I'm fucking drunk as shit. You know, and I ended up getting pulled over for following too close. But you know what? I don't know how I would have ever gotten on the freeway. I was so faded. It was bad.
Was this in the Bay also?
Yeah.
Damn. What's a county jail like there?
That's stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah. County up there is stupid. Like, my friends are like, I had a friend that was in San Quentin. Like, I mean, I was hanging out with dudes where I had a car. I always had a job my whole life. That was like my saving grace. Like, I've been working since I was 15, you know?
Yeah.
And I would come home with these wads of cash from waiting tables and I would just shove it in my glove box, you know? And like, my friend, like, broke into my car, into the glove box, stole all my money, like crashed, like, you know, smashed in the window.
Damn.
And then I woke up and they were like, damn, you got robbed last night. And that was my best friend.
Are you serious?
A guy. Yeah.
Are you serious? Was he a junkie?
And he ended up going to San Quentin. I can't remember why, but like, he broke into my mom's car. My mom used to drive this Honda Civic and like, you could start the ignition with a hanger.
Uh-huh.
Like, the ignition was busted. And so he like one night stole my mom's car, drove it up to Guerneville. I don't know if you know anything about the Russian River.
But
river rats up there.
Uh-huh.
And drove it up to Guerneville, drove through a miniature golf course, like crashed into the miniature golf course, like totaled the car, got arrested. And
damn.
Like, my mom's like, your friend fucked my car up, you know, like, and I'm just like that. I was just like, whatever, you know, like, you know, it's just stupid kids being kids, you know?
Yeah.
But so did you, dangerously.
So you got into AA up there after your second DUI?
No, I moved down to LA because I was like, I was working at a place called Sobriety High. I was a teacher's aide. And I was like, because after I've been through the system, because like I shoplifted like and got busted when I was 18, like 2 weeks after I graduated high school in jail.
Damn.
So I got 3 counts of misdemeanor theft. If I would have had one more, I would have got a felony. And this was back in Montana.
Yeah.
So like after I went to high school out here for a minute and then I moved back to Montana to graduate. And I got to Montana and
because your credits weren't transferable or whatever, right?
Right. And I had a pact with my friends like, oh, we were all going to come back for our senior year.
You know?
And like my parents let me back in the house. I had to like sign a contract and do all this stuff.
Oh my
like,
gosh.
Like, are you going to be like, you know, cool? Like, you can't just be crazy. And I was going through the mall shop. I was a theft. Like, I was a thief. We would steal everything. Like, we just walk and like pluck, you know?
Yeah.
And just like put. So I was like layering clothes on in the mall. And then like my friend tried to put on a jacket and she ran off like out the door. And then like I followed her and the security guard like chased me down. And I had a conscience and I turned around. And it was like 2 weeks into my 18th birthday, and then I got busted with everything that I had and what she had. So I got 3 counts of misdemeanor theft. And then, like, yeah, if it would have been one more, I would have been 18 with a felony, you know?
Damn.
Bad. And I tell that story because, like, I do Linwood now, and it's just like, you know.
You do panels at Linwood?
I do panels at Linwood.
Really?
Yeah.
Fuck, I've been.
Well, I've done it twice.
Is it women now?
It's Linwood's a women's.
It's always been women. Yeah, it's women.
No, I was there.
Really?
Oh, really?
When it first opened, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The county jail, Linwood?
Yep, 100%.
Wow. Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all women's now. Yeah,
yeah, when it opened, it was.
What about Sybil Brandt? Remember that was the old
I've shot a commercial at Sybil Brandt.
Oh, the building's still there?
It was like 8-10 years ago.
Yeah.
But there was Biscaloo Center. I don't know if that's around anymore. That was men. Then the Twin Towers. I think one was women, one was men, I think. But
yeah, I think you're right. I think what the towers there was a women's.
Yeah, Linwood was men when it opened. This is in the early 90s, you know.
Yeah.
But that was my, so anyway, I got a DUI. I got my first DUI up there. I was working at a place called Sobriety High. I was working with kids that were, like, sober. They were mandated by the state to be sober. And, like, most of my friends had gone through juvie, you know. So I was like, oh, I'm going to be a probation officer, and I'm gonna save lives, you know.
Yeah.
And so I started the program at College of Marin to, like, be a, you know, teacher's aide or whatever. And then, like, none of the kids gave two shits. And I was like, wait a minute, they're not even listening, you know.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, how can I influence people, you know, on a grander scale? So I was like thinking, and I was just like, well, what am I gonna do? And I came down to LA.
Yeah.
And my friend brought me down here. I didn't know anything about it, and I was like, I'm moving to LA, you know.
That's,
and I'm
so
like
crazy.
I'm gonna go to LA, I'm gonna get all this money, I'm gonna take the town, you know. And
yeah.
I'm gonna come back, I'm gonna buy my mom a car, I'm gonna buy her a house, like, I'm gonna do all this stuff.
Yeah.
You know. And I got down here. Of course, my disease followed me, you know, and I answered some Craigslist ad. I started working at the Laugh Factory on Sunset Boulevard.
Uh-huh.
And so I started working at comedy clubs. And then I was like,
what were you doing? Waitressing?
Waitressing at the Laugh Factory. Yeah. I worked there like 5 years.
You probably made good money, right?
Not really. No. I mean, waiting tables is cool if you can, like, do good and have high prices. But, I mean, this was stressful. Like, working at a comedy club is stressful.
Oh, because people pay to get in, and there's a minimum, and then they don't want to fucking drink, really.
Right.
Or...
And then, I mean, like, they're just, like, eating chicken and throwing the chicken bones on the ground. Like,
no way.
I swear.
What the fuck?
Yeah. I mean...
What's the craziest thing you've ever seen happen in a comedy club?
Oh, dude. Okay, so I mean, so many things, like, so many things. But, like, I used to work on a night called Chocolate Sundays, which is like it's a great, it's like the best night of the week at the Laugh Factory. Shout out to Chocolate Sundays. But, like, you should go. It's like the funnest night of the week.
Okay.
And there was like this dude. There's, you know, comics. They're like gang on the side.
Okay.
I'm not gonna name any names, but this dude was like this 6 foot tall, like, black dude, like, was outside, and this little guy came up and just clocked him, and he dropped. This is like a Bloods Crips thing, I think, maybe.
Okay.
And, like, this was before the shoot. I don't know if you remember the shooting at the Comedy Store. There was, like, a shooting on the patio.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it gets dangerous up there. It was dangerous. I don't know what's going on after COVID. Like, I go there sometimes, like, I've seen it all.
Everywhere in LA now is dangerous. I mean, it's like, dude, I ate at a restaurant last night in at this Salvadorian spot Camille and I went to. It's called Haragua. It's like the fancy Salvadorian spot. You know, it's really good.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And I post a photo of, like, the, you know, whatever, you know, of the dinner, and Danny responds, American Danny, my bad. He responds and he goes, oh, damn, that's where the fools got shot last week. I was like, what? You know, and I guess somebody, like, people were leaving the restaurant and some dudes ran up on him in the parking lot, gunpoint, robbed him, went up the street, robbed somebody else, then went around the corner and then gunpoint robbed another motherfucker, you know?
Damn.
Leaving the restaurant, and it's like on the week anniversary of this happening where they're getting dinner. Yeah, you know?
That's fucking crazy.
Where was that?
Like Beverly and, like, Koreatown. Beverly and, like, right by where the Titanic exhibit is, you know?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
That weird spot, yeah. But, like, everywhere, you know, there's nothing, yeah.
So what made you end up getting sober?
So I got my second DUI coming home from a work party. They had, like, rented a party bus, and everyone was getting – and I didn't even want to go. I had that, like, thing that was like, nah, I can't go. My friend was like, just come. It's going to be great. And I was like, no, I, you know, I got all this shit to do, you know? And then I ended up going on the party bus, like, reluctantly, and everyone was, like, being crazy. And I got out, and, like, everyone was, like, laid out on the ground, you know, like, on Melrose, just, like, and I'm like, whoa, like, get me out of here. And I got in my car. I'm like, I just need to go home, you know? I got in my car. I lit a cigarette. I crossed Crescent Heights and, like, I don't know, Melrose, like, somewhere around there. And I T-boned a Uber driver that was navigating and driving at the same time.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, so, like, he had the right of way. But if he would have seen me crossing the road, he would have slowed down. But uh-huh. Because he wasn't paying attention, like, he ran right into my driver's side.
Oh, shit.
And, like, I told my car, I got out, like, airbag in my face. You know,
that shit's like, shocking, too, when you crash and you get hit by an airbag.
Yeah.
And this lady came up to me and was like, I just want to let you know this isn't happening to you. This is happening for you. And I was like, whoa, what? Maybe she was an angel. I never saw her after that. But she probably was in the program. I don't know.
Shit.
Yeah. So
while you're there in handcuffs and shit.
Yeah, I got arrested. I know. I got arrested. I got taken to Twin Towers. Like, the cop was so mean. He was filming me because I was, like, yelling. Because I had already had one DUI. And I'm like, dude, I can't go to jail. I'm going to lose my job, you know? And he was filming everything. And I'm like, take me to the hospital. The airbag went off my face, you know, and like I couldn't see out of one eye. And I was like, take me to the hospital now. And so I go to the hospital and he's like playing the video from when I'm yelling at him, like, to the whole hospital.
Oh, saying like, she's fine. Look, she's fucking.
No, they were laughing.
Oh, wow.
And I got up and I'm like, yo, people are dying around me. You're just going to be playing this video right now? What are you doing? Yeah. LA cops, I don't know about it. Yeah. But yeah, I ended up going to Twin Towers. I got booked in there. I'm not from here. I didn't know anything about it. You know, they take your mugshot at like 3 a.m. when you look like Nick Nolte with the hair and shit. Trying to make you look really bad, you know, and I'm in the holding cell. And like, I got in my cell and I was like bawling my head off because I could have killed the guy, you know.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, like, I'm lucky that he didn't die. I was blacked out and I was driving, you know.
Yeah.
And like, to be fair, like, I'm from Montana. I love drinking and driving. Like, I want to like go everywhere and drink and drive, you know. Like, I'm wild. Yeah. You can't do that.
There's no speed limit in Montana.
No,
right?
No.
Wait, seriously?
Yeah, no bullshit, dude.
I think they might have one now, but yeah, for a long time there's no
speed
limit.
It is, like, seriously, when I was at my grandpa's spot up there where it's back roads and long distances and shit, dude, you're like already going like 85 and motherfuckers are just like 95, 100 just passing you and like towing shit. Like, I swear to God, just going for it.
Wow.
Yeah. So,
all right, so you get busted.
So anyway, I got busted. That was my second DUI. I got on an ankle bracelet. I could have got another felony.
How long were you in county for?
I mean, I got bailed out like 2 days later.
Right on.
And I mean, because it's a business. They called me right away. They're like, yeah, we're going to get you out. I'm like, don't call my parents for money. Like, they don't have any money. And like, they bailed me out. My parents bailed me out. Like, it was crazy. I don't know why. I wish I would have stayed in there and just gotten out, you know, and lost that stupid job. I was so concerned about losing my job.
Yeah.
But yeah. And then, you know, I got out. I did everything. I was on the ankle bracelet. The second the ankle bracelet came off, I'm like, you know? And then I'm back on Sunset Boulevard, like, just in a skirt, blacked out on the side of the road, like laying on the road.
Yeah.
One time I went to the Comedy Store and I'm like in the bathroom. It was a hot summer day. It was like 110. It was one of those days. And I'm just Chardonnayed out, you know, just Chardonnay all day long, no water. So dehydrated. Wow. And I like almost had a seizure. I'm in the bathroom of the Comedy Store laying on the floor. I can't move.
And that's the dirtiest
like,
fucking.
I can't move my hands. Like I'm having a seizure. Like I couldn't get up. I couldn't walk.
Oh, my God.
And I'm, like, in public, you know, just being a complete raging alcoholic. Like, what are you doing? You know?
Yeah.
So it was an act of God, you know? And then I was mandated by the courts to go to AA.
Oh.
And so I start sitting in the back row. I'm like, fuck all this bullshit. And then slowly it creeps in a little bit. And you're like, all the stories are so cool. And like, I got sober in the valley at Moore Park. Shout out to Moore Park.
Yeah, Moore Park's dope. Yeah.
And, you know, the guy that helped me get sober, like, he had two DUIs. He ended up going out again, got his third DUI, and killed somebody. He's doing life now.
Holy shit.
Yeah, life.
This is who now that did that?
Oh, this guy that helped me get sober from Moore Park. And, like, I had started my H&I commitments up out there and stuff. And, like, I was going to the hospitals, you know, in Northridge. I ended up pulling myself off Sunset Boulevard. I'm like, I need to get sober. You know, I went and moved to North Hills by Northridge.
Wow.
And I just hunkered down and quit. You know, and I just started serving, you know, and
worked at like a Chili's in Northridge or something. I was
working in Marina Del Rey.
Oh, okay.
I was driving I was driving Marina Del Rey to Northridge like every day.
That's crazy.
What are you doing?
That's
yeah.
Crazy.
But and then, you know, COVID happened. And I was like a year or two into COVID and then I found Brunswick on Zoom.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, mm-hmm. Shit.
That's a trip. Mm-hmm.
So that's what, you know. But like, it's just this big giant amalgamation of me saying yes when I want to say no, you know? And it was like, I didn't want to ever do drugs the way that I did drugs. But like, because I was so influenced by my friends, like, I was just like, okay, I'm going to kill myself because everyone else is doing it. You know what I mean? And you're just trying to fit in and be cool, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, you have to purge that behavior, like, it, as fast as you can. You know, I do an alternate program in Al-Anon, you know, because I don't do that anymore. I don't say yes when I want to say no anymore.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, I do. I still do. Like, it's a daily practice, you know? But, yeah, you know, I have 5 years coming up on 6 in August. But I'm still just, you know,
a strong recovery.
I mean, sort of, but I'm white knuckling it, you know, like a lot of times because my sponsors in Woodland Hills are like, I can't get out to see her, so we do phone calls and stuff like that. But like, yeah, I mean, it's hard. I was suicidal. Like, I mean, when I first got sober, I was like, I had never dealt with any of my issues. I was so angry, you know, because I had been kicked out at 15. You know, my dad kicked me out of the house, which is worse because a dad and a daughter like relationship is like a kind of a big deal.
My mom kicked me out at 15.
Really?
Okay.
Yeah. What was that like?
It was fucking awful. I mean, it's weird. I was in therapy today.
Really?
We were talking about like abandonment shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I don't know. Like, because I've been dealing with a lot of fucking anxiety lately, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
And it's like, I'm just fucking over it, you know? But I was talking to the therapist and she was like, yeah, it's fucking, you know, abandonment shit. It comes and goes. Yeah. You know what I mean? But.
Well, do you do any work around it or?
Yeah, I mean, I've written inventories on it and shit. You know
right.
what I mean? But
because that's like a deep, dark hole that's going to kill you. I mean, when I first got sober, like I was so anxious. Like I was so socially, I couldn't go anywhere. And I started isolating. You know, I was up in North Hills, like isolating and just not doing.
I'm not isolating. But.
Yeah, you're good. You're hanging. But I mean, yeah, that thing is like, it's a hard one to work around.
Yeah, it's I can relate with that and stuff because, like, you know, my dad left, him and my mom split when I was very young. But, like, you know, he started this new family and they definitely showed me a lot of love and attention and everything else. But it's like it's a trip, you know, it's as hard as they all tried to kind of work it out, you know, with whatever the dynamic was. It's a trip when you see how like
Dario and them are all having pizza. Reno's on the side and Dario just throws a crust over his shoulder.
Like, oh,
Shit. Reno's like,
oh man. Nah, but you know, it's like, I'm sure you guys can relate. It's like, you know, everybody just did the best they could with what they were working with at the time, you know? And especially it was a different time then, you know, the 70s and 80s, like, it was.
They were having kids so young, too.
Yeah.
And they didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
So when I'm like working on my forgiveness stuff, and I have like still resentments that I work through, you know, majorly.
Yeah.
You know, it affects my relationship. I mean, I was choosing abusive people for a long time because I had no self-esteem.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you just have to, like, when you're working through your forgiveness and stuff, just realize like they were just trying to do the best that they could at that time.
Yeah.
And like, if you wanna hold them in chains, like, it doesn't do anything for them. It just hurts you, you know?
No, and we have the most incredible relationship today. I mean, now, especially since I stopped acting like a fucking fool and, you know, got and stayed clean and sober, you know?
Yeah.
It's, it's wild. It's huge that we're all here today, you know?
Al, you ever see a ghost?
I've dealt with many. I don't know if I believe in ghosts, but I believe in spirits and, like, I've dealt with many demons that have like tried to get at me in my sleep.
Oh shit.
Wow. Yeah.
Can you tell us about one?
Yeah. I mean, what do you want to know? I mean, I've had like times where I'm waking up and there's somebody on me.
Oh shit.
Yeah.
Really?
Oh yeah. Something was on me.
Like something holding you down. Like, what do they call that? There's like another term for it too. It's like
there's like incubus and succubus. You know, do you ever study demonology or anything?
No.
Like, I don't know. I my mom's Catholic, so like I read into all that stuff.
Yeah.
But exorcists, I like watching exorcisms. Like, I don't.
Oh, damn.
I mean, not like crazy, not like that.
I saw the movie The Exorcist at a very young age. Yeah, thinking forget. I was tough.
No, not like that.
I still can't watch that movie.
Right.
That's hardcore.
But I don't know. Do people get trapped here in this like paradigm or?
Man, you know, I don't know. I really don't know. As long as it's funny, I will say for me, it's like when I'm doing dark shit.
Yeah.
Drugs and
dark
living in that stuff,
coming,
it shit gets attracted to you, and you're like, "Oh, what the fuck was that person all about? Was that even real right now?
Yeah.
This person that was just here, like, you know,
I don't let anything like that around me ever. I don't watch horror movies. I don't do any dark. I do nothing dark.
Yeah,
I'm so sensitive.
Yeah,
like, I be seeing people, and this might sound weird, but like motherfuckers that are on the street getting loaded now. Like they're possessed. There's some shit, you know. I mean, I'll see people on the side of the freeway where like dude, the other day it's pouring rain. Yeah. And like this woman's just like, it was scary. Like it's pouring rain and they're not asking for money. They're just like every car that drives by, they're like, free. And I was like, what the fuck is, you know, I don't know if it's the drugs. I don't know what, like, I don't know what it is, you know,
it's
like
the zombie apocalypse. What do you mean? honestly,
It's intense, man, for sure. It's intense.
But honestly, when I was working on the podcast,
no, like, pun intended.
Yeah. We would have like occult people come on, you know, and explain the dark side and stuff. And that was crazy.
Yeah, I bet. They go deep and shit. And like,
we go deep, homeboy. I worked for Tinfoil Hat Podcast for 3 years. Like,
I've never listened to
you
it.
You should look it up. Yeah. I worked for Sam Tripoli. Like, he's a comic. But I mean, yeah, we were getting into crazy, crazy topics.
Yeah.
And it got really political too. Like, I was booking some crazy people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who's the most high profile person they've had on there?
Well, when I left, like, I was booking Roger Stone.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. And we had a falling out. I mean,
who's that? Who's Roger Stone?
Was Trump's advisor.
Oh, wow.
He's that dude with the, like, he's kind of, like, fit with the blonde, weird blonde do. And he, like, got sent to prison and then Trump pardoned him. He, like, worked for Nixon back in the day.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Him and his wife are swingers and shit and all this, like, weird shit.
Yes.
He was a dude that did time that for this thing that
he
Trump
dresses in all those pinstripe suits and like
and Trump pardoned him.
Oh yeah, yeah. Uh-huh.
But honestly, we were booking people. I mean, we got deep into like Julian Assange stuff and I don't know if you know anything about all that, but
yeah.
Somewhat.
I mean, I do, but I also like somewhere along the line people are like starting to say like, well, he's right and he's this and he's that, and I'm like, I don't
know. He's in prison, Julian Assange,
right?
Yeah,
right. But
no, he's the one that exposed and published like the war, like
a bunch of shit that was stolen by the
yeah,
the
like trans soldiers were were killing civilians, and like he published a video.
Oh damn!
Of them from the plane shooting like a Reuters, you know, a journalist.
Oh shit!
And they were just open firing on civilians, and so I mean he was exposing the entire Iraq war.
Yeah.
And like you can't do that, you know. Yeah. There was this chick named Chelsea Manning. She was a trans.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like she was giving them, you know, articles to publish from the military because she was working in the military, yeah, you know. And they like had this server where you could upload like stuff. So she uploaded the video with the.
I mean,
we were getting so deep to the point where, like, I was scared. You know what I mean? I'm like, we had Washington, D.C. watching and, like, you know.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. I mean, but luckily I was sober through the whole thing. And if I hadn't got sober at that time, like, I wouldn't have caused a ripple in that world, you know. Mm. So, I mean, I'm just really grateful that I had the second UI, but like I can't go out again. Yeah. You know? I mean, there's just no way. Like I have to do a service to society to be sober.
Yeah.
And you do it through going into, you know, through H&I, going into jails, yeah. H&I, yeah.
Right.
Showing up for others.
That's huge. Like to go to Linwood, like I don't know a lot of women that would like sacrifice a night of the
week. Well, you never seen Johnny Cash do a thing? Well,
no, for sure.
I'm like, that's what I want to do, you know?
Yeah.
I want to go in there and just help people. Like, why? Like, they're struggling, and a lot of them are getting like bullshit sentences for like minor petty theft, you know? Yeah. And it's like they're getting the book thrown at them. Like, how can you not care?
Well, it's California, it's a prison state.
Yeah.
Everyone wants to act like it's all fucking liberal. It's
no.
I mean, I've been there. It's like there's more prisons in this state than Texas.
The crazy thing is when I went to Linwood, it looks like a high school.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, like the education system and the prison system are like the same, honestly.
That's a trip.
Isn't that weird? They like ring the bell and you got to scurry on to the next class, you know?
That is
They're
wild.
Preparing you. Yeah, the schools are preparing you for for being institutionalized.
Right.
You
know? Yeah, it's the prison industrial complex.
Yeah, yeah, no, that's a real thing.
It's a business. Sure. Yeah. They make money off you being a criminal.
Yeah. Yeah.
And meanwhile, they're funneling crack. You know, we had Freeway Ricky Rouse on the show. Mm. You know, like who was involved with funneling crack to the streets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know? And it's like once you see that and you know that fentanyl is coming up from Mexico and like it's being drugs are being run by the alphabet agencies. Once you know all of that, there's no going back after that.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like you see these people that are struggling so hard with addiction and it's being fed to them by, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's just like it's hard.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, I mean, there's definitely that dynamic that you just described with Freeway Ricky Ross and that way that crack was brought in and the Iran-Contra connection and that whole thing has definitely been proven. You know, the murder journalist from the San Jose Mercury News and stuff. Like, that's absolutely a real thing. I think this fentanyl thing is a different trip, though.
It's crazy.
I think that I don't know what to think, to be honest. I think that everybody is so up each other's asses and going so many different directions. And these fucking cartels are just going ape shit and just throwing so much of this shit at the border that if 10, 15% of it's getting through, it's hundreds and hundreds of kilos. You know what I mean? Because it's not like they have to grow it. They're synthesizing it. I'm reading that book by Sam Quinones, and they're synthesizing this shit. They brought a bunch of Chinese people over to the fucking super labs down there and they're making it. And it's just a whole cuckoo fucking clock thing. But I feel like my tinfoil hat piece of that whole thing is I feel like it's a chemical assault on this country.
100%.
I think that there are forces at work, the Chinese, the cartels, that just hate the fuck out of the fact that we're so big, so organized, huge military, and all this kind of stuff. And they're like, we'll just fuck them from the inside.
But I also feel like it's an assault on, like, men. You know what I mean? They want to get you young and stuff.
You're exactly right.
In order to weaken a country, you have to weaken the men.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And you know what's funny? I was thinking another dynamic. there's a Baja Fresh up by where I live, and it's like the only kind of convenient thing, and I run and grab food from there at lunch when I'm working. And there's like a dude who's like an overly energetic, like 29 or 32 year old white kid that's like working in there and working the register, and I'm like, what the fuck's wrong with you that you're working in here? You know what I mean? Like, it's like, he's clearly an addict who's like 90 days clean.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't really know where I'm going with all that, other than to say that, like, it's fucking just wild what it's doing to the streets, these countries, this country, and these neighborhoods, and these kids, and these men and women. It's just, it doesn't discriminate.
And there ain't no way out. That's the thing. There's no solution to this problem right now that's been introduced. I mean, I've seen other places, and I hate to go down like the, you know, I was interviewed for a thing about like harm reduction, and we live in this world where it's like harm reduction versus treatment, and treatment's like, fuck harm reduction, they're fucking prolonging this thing, and then fucking harm reduction people are like, well, fucking fuck abstinence, that doesn't work for all people, and they're fucking both right at the end of the day. It's abstinence doesn't work for everybody, but also the 12-step, like, I know that shit works for me, you know, and like, but also like, to knock harm reduction and to be like, you know, like, to knock harm reduction and to knock, you know, like, to knock people like, oh, well, fuck, like, people, like, we've done posts on Narcan, you know, and people are like, you guys are just prolonging the fucking, the opioid epidemic and blah, blah. And it's like, well, you can't fucking save somebody's life, get somebody into treatment that's dead.
Dude, you know? You're exactly right about that, man. And I woke up on Christmas Day at Tarzana Treatment Center a number of years ago, fuck, 10, 12 years ago. Woke up to a kid dead on Christmas Day. Young kid, like fucking 22, came in there with his girlfriend. They sent her to one side, the west yard, him to the east side. And she was a dope fiend. He was just an alcoholic, but he told everybody coming in there, I'm also using heroin. And they gave him too much methadone and too much other shit.
Yeah.
And he ended up, you know, the whole night, he's like, man, I'm more fucked up in here than I was on the streets.
Anyway, yeah, that's the problem with methadone, too, you know?
It's just, it's late now and my brain's a little scrambled, but yeah, I think we can all agree that whatever's going on right now is fucked up.
It's fine.
Well, and then when you understand that addicts are, like, a product of, like, the drug, you know? Like, you're addicted to a substance. Like, it makes you have a little bit more empathy for people, you know? Because that once you start, like, you can't stop, you know?
Especially if you have like the disease, I knew you.
It's like Oxycontin. And like the Sackler family and how they ran opioids through the entire country, and like millions of people dropped dead over this shit.
Yeah.
And they're just profiting billions of dollars.
Fucking crazy.
You know what I mean? And it's like,
they're still coming after a lot of those people. It takes a lot longer for the law to catch up, but like CVS just got hit with a big lawsuit that they had to settle for a couple $100 million. Mm-hmm. Like all these, you know, these distribution. I mean, it was foul.
Yeah.
It was foul. I mean, you can draw a direct line from the opioid crisis to the heroin epidemic to the fentanyl epidemic.
Yeah,
you know,
right. Straight
once you use those drugs, you do not forget how they make you feel. No, you'll never forget the way the heroin made you feel.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, and it's like if you don't have the disease, then you're able to say, I'm not doing that shit anymore. Like, I'm friends with this celebrity chef that got a surgery done, and they gave him a bunch of perks, and he's like, I gotta go back to work, even though he's like healing from the surgery.
Mm-hmm.
perks, and fucking dude, at the end of like 45 days he was strung out, and he just hard timed it, white knuckled it, sleepless 2 weeks, sweating, shitting, fucking all that stuff, came out the other side. He's like, I'll never touch that again. But if you have the disease a little bit to any sort of the spectrum, you can't remember, what does it say in the book? You cannot recall with sufficient force the events of a week or a month ago. You know what I mean? Somebody throws,
or even a day,
sack,
you know?
Somebody throws that sack in front of you, or if you're in a relative's house and you open a medicine cabinet and you see a bottle that says fucking Norco on it, like, you don't think about that shit.
Yeah.
You're just like, oh. Like on that movie Beautiful Boy with Timothy Chalamet. Yeah. Oh, he was at Thanksgiving and he like goes in the bathroom and sees those.
But you know, a lot of these shows are glamorizing drug use too. I mean, and then back in the 90s, I mean, it was like Basketball Diaries was like glamorizing heroin, like train spotting and shit. So like all these kids were growing up watching these movies and being like, dude, I want to fucking do heroin, you know?
Totally.
I want to be passed out on the toilet and like, look what they're doing. They're having the time of their lives, you know? And then boom, like.
No, it's, you know, it's like those movies, if they have the arc of redemption, like granted, like that's the feel good moment or whatever. But like, it doesn't hit without all of that. You know what I mean? Like with that intensity of people fixing or hallucinating, babies crawling across the ceiling like in Train Spotting.
Right.
You have to have that in order for people to get that shock value for sure. But man, I got to say, just to back it up for a moment, I think, you know, the harm reduction thing, people could shit on it, but it's like, people want their children to live, you know? It's like, you can't shit on somebody for wanting to their kid to to do anything if they're just failing over and over again. But I think that maybe they need to, like, make some examples out of, like, that was the one thing that Trump said. I didn't agree with anything he said, but he was like, when they talked about people bringing fentanyl into this country, he's like, give them the death penalty. Like, seriously,
But what do you do when it's the fucking, when it's the government, when it's them motherfuckers that are, you know, it's like, you know, then it's like, then you need to start. I mean, if we start giving the death penalty to motherfuckers that are known, that are, you know, we would start seeing, like, we would have, like, to replace the whole fucking, you know, the administration.
I'm saying, like, when you catch, like, you, I see on the news all the time that, like, I have the ABC 7 app on my iPad while I'm working, a banner pops up, I hit it, like, oh, what's happened? It'll be like 400,000 fentanyl pills found in fucking a minivan in, like, Fountain Valley. Yeah. Like, dude, those guys, death penalty. They drove that minivan here from fucking Mexico full of fentanyl to distribute it with the intent of distributing it.
There's a lot to a bunch. There's of a lot of that stuff, you know, and a lot of it is
I'm not talking about Johnny bought a couple.
But a lot of it, it's misinformation. A lot of it's scare tactics. A lot of, like, Narcan Nate's really good at breaking that.
Oh, really?
Down. Yeah, like the fucking. It's like that thing where it's like, you know, where it's like, check your kid's candy for fucking know, like, there's never been a case of a kid that's ever been given a drug on fucking Halloween. It hasn't happened. Like, there hasn't been a razor that a kid has eaten. Like, it's ever, I mean, you know, and it's all just scare tactics. I think we're just getting off topic, and this ain't really
you're right.
We're just getting a little, I don't know. I think we're just, like, fucking going down a rabbit hole and this, which isn't really our podcast. And I don't want to, like, you know, lose fucking listeners by getting too deep on anything.
Well, we love you. Don't turn off.
All I'm trying to say, though, with that whole thing is, like, if you're an addict, like, there's help for you. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, you could still drive a truck full of fentanyl over across the border and have a change of heart. Like, I don't believe in the death penalty. Like, for
damn, that's heavy. Right?
Yeah.
You know,
what about that? Yeah.
Like, I mean, everybody deserves a second chance. Like, I just believe so hardcore in second chances. Like, it's not you, you know, like, it's the world that you live in. You know, you're a product of, like, what's happening around you, and like, just be careful, you know.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And, and I think where I was going with, like, so there's this, like, 12-step approach, there's the harm reduction approach, there's all these people, and everybody is putting everybody else down, and until we all start, like, working together and realizing that we're all here and we're all human and we all want to just help somebody, and, like, some methods are less traditional than others, and some people, certain things are going to work for other people, and if we could all come together and, like, for the greater good and realize that there's a fucking serious problem going on, that we're more fucked. We have more people dying from opiates today than anything else, you know, than anything else in this fucking country.
Absolutely.
Which, it's fucked.
Well, it's taking out a whole generation, you know? It's taking out generations.
Yeah. So remove the stigma, open up the channels of communication with the people that you love and that you care about, friends of friends, loved ones, family members, and just, you know, be there for them.
Yeah.
And understand that they're having a human experience.
Yeah. And you know what? It doesn't have to be all bad at the end of the day.
It can be all, it's all good on it's all bad. That's
right. Yo, thank you guys for listening. We love you all. Check out the Patreon for extra stories. Follow us on It Is All Bad on Instagram. We got YouTube videos. I think we'll have YouTube of this. We're trying out another new way of filming stuff.
Watch so you can see me pointing at you, winking at you.
And then, Allie, you got anything you want to plug? You got any shows, anything that you're doing that you want to...
I mean, I do Cantor's open mic on Tuesday.
Nice.
Come by.
Yeah. Get yourself a fucking pastrami sandwich.
Right. I mean, I'm just trying to, like, do recovery right now.
Cool.
I'm working on It's All Bad. I'm helping on the Instagram. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Hell yeah.
So. Cool. Well, thank you so much for coming on. Thanks for everything you do.
Thank you, Allie.
Yeah.
For sure.
And thank you guys. We'll see you soon. Bye.
Ciao.